Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ah! What up, everybody? 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley after perhaps the most dispiriting loss of the Washington football team's 2021 season. Mm-hmm. Record drops to 2-4. They got undercover boat raced. I mean, we can talk about the halftime lead. The final's 31-13.
The game don't end until the game is over, so the halftime don't make a difference.
Not to mention they had 300 yards of offense in the first half.
Yeah.
Mahomes had a terrible turnover, and Mahomes, the pick was awful, and then the Tyreek Hill bounced off his hands. I mean, whatever. They generated turnovers. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
But it was just a terrible performance.
It's that type of performance when you're honest with yourself is you can basically say this. Kansas City played god awful in the first half. They missed many opportunities, and they still beat you by 18. And it was never close. You didn't score at all against the 32nd ranked defense in the league. You didn't score at all in the second half. So, you know, it's a lot of what someone can say to try to make it look good. That wasn't a good performance yesterday. I think that performance yesterday is one of the worst I've seen this year. It's probably worse than the Buffalo performance because all three phases stunk.
So here's my like three biggest questions from that game, right? Mm-hmm. I was listening to the Junkies driving down, and Bickle was upset about the game plan for Heinicke. Heinicke was terrible in this game, all right? 24 of 39 for a 182 with a touchdown and a pick. Those are Alex Smith numbers. And Bickle,
you throw 30-something times and you have only 100-something yards, it's something up with the person throwing the ball to.
Right, so Eric didn't like the game plan. It was a lot of short passes. I saw guys open. These are the questions I'll throw out to the phone lines, to you guys, to everything. Was it the game plan or was it the game play? Was it the people playing?
I have to go combination. The game plan to me was one is which this is what we're going to have this type of game plan, and I'm not talking about just offense. I'm talking about offense, defense, and special teams to where we're going to lose. That's what that game plan looked at me. We're going to lose, but we don't want to lose by a certain amount. So it was conservative to try to keep pace. The play was terrible. I saw some of the worst tackling I've ever seen in my life. Taylor is normally high. He was high and low yesterday. He was so inaccurate, it was ridiculous. We got another field goal miss. Call it what you want. Whoever out there, like, this is a problem. I don't care what people say. I know what the stats may prove, but you make decisions based off of your confidence in this kicker. And then he missed that one yesterday. So that is what, basically three of the six games, you missed something in it, missed a field goal.
You know, he's only 12 of 14?
Yeah.
That's pretty good numbers-wise.
12 of 14, but and remember, you had two extra points in one game. So yeah, you got to be concerned about that. But ultimately, no phase played great. The one play that we had to Seals Jones, it was just, you expect that secondary as horrible as they played to blow a coverage.
That defense was giving up 32 a game, yeah, and you got 13.
Yeah.
Now, listen, here's my thing. If you plan to run it out, right? If you plan to run the hell out of the football, control the clock, and that's your game plan, I'm cool with that if Heinicke has 180 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They ran the ball 19 times.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Gibson get 20 carries on his own.
Mr. Williams, the former quarterback in high school and play receiver, I think, in college, some too, he had it 21 times. He ran the ball more than the whole Washington team.
Now, Gibson's dealing with an injury. I understand that.
That's where I go, Jay. The thing that I text you about and I talked to you about when I walked in here this morning. Gibson's dealing with an injury. Put him on the side, let him nurse his injury and get it back healthy. You got McKissick, okay? You also have the young buck, Patterson.
Yep.
Let them play. See, this is where I am confused, okay? I hear so much talk about we play the guys that can play. But it seems like we only want to play the starters. When Baltimore played us in the quarter, the running back got hurt. Then we saw in practice they had a defensive back and another defensive back got hurt. A linebacker got hurt. Everyone was like, oh, see, that's what happens. They're 5-1. They are kicking people's ass.
They look like a freight train.
Okay? They put in their backup running back, then they put in their backup running back, and they still run the ball effectively. Why? They coach 53 damn people, 63 with all the people on practice squad, to be able to play. If I have an opportunity that you need to get in the game, you're going to play. It's like if I say, hey, Cody, you got to go. You got to be ready to go. And you can see the way that they step on the field and they are ready to go. We got starters that are on the field that don't look like they're ready to go. Something is missing. Something is being lost from whatever they writing up in the coaches' meeting to when they transfer it to the players and take it to the field. Something is lost, or somebody don't believe in something that they're being told.
Well, and how can we keep hearing that we're okay with this?
Because
how are you okay with this?
The little segment we do, what did they really say or what didn't they say?
Yeah.
Hey, like I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, I'll say it in the face, I'll say it to anybody. If you are happy with what you've been putting out there, then I can see why they're so bad. Because if you're telling them what you're telling us, then I can see. I have always been the person who subscribes to tell me the truth about things.
Just tell me the truth.
If I stink, say, Brian, your ass stinks. If I am bad, Brian, you're bad. But don't sit up here and say, oh, no, you're good. Because you know what? I will believe you. And I am going to respond based off of what you told me, which means I'm not going to do the extra work. I'm not going to work harder because you already told me I'm good. But if you tell me the truth about myself, anybody that has any competitive gene in their body is going to say, oh, really? And then they're going to go to work against it. But somebody must be telling some people that you're doing okay. You know why I say that? Because I have watched every week the secondary do the same crap. I watched the linebackers do most of the same crap. And then yesterday, I was so embarrassed watching a bunch of defensive backs act as if they were playing little league football. I have never seen a person in the NFL put their arms across themselves, close their eyes, and throw their shoulders at somebody. That's not tackling. You bring your arms with you. You lower your shoulder pad.
The tackling was god-awful yesterday.
It's pathetic. So they can say what you want. And like I've heard people write. You writing the bad stuff. Y'all saying, what the hell has been good? Yesterday, what made you smile? You know what made me smile? The things that they did at halftime. Seeing a lot of former players come in town. Nothing about that game made me smile yesterday.
B, I got to tell you that... And we'll do this later because we should talk about the Sean Taylor stuff. And I got to speak to his family. And the one important thing they accomplished yesterday was that family felt loved.
Yeah.
But that
made me smile.
That was an uninspiring tribute, to say the least. I mean, just how they had the alumni bunched up. And maybe it was COVID that they had to keep people separated. I don't really know. But, man, I've seen when alumni day is really cool. And yesterday wasn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were there. I'd love to hear from some fans that were at the game on that. But I think we do that a little later. I think we got to just stick on the game for now. my biggest concern, Brian, and I mean this, I almost wonder if the game plan was just to lose respectably, if we're not even trying to win. And if we're going into a game not even trying to win, what the hell are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You play to win the game.
Yeah, no matter what. And no matter who you play. Because, see, what I saw yesterday was Kansas City came in here overconfident. And they were making mistakes early because they felt like, we're not worried about them. The first pass Tyreek Hill slips on, Kendall could have had an interception there. He didn't. Came back again, he slipped another time. Then he comes and one goes off his hand, pick off. They had opportunities. They got two opportunities to go and they got 6 points out of it. Soon as they score a touchdown, they're in the lead again. And you saw, we got the ball, three and out, boom, they got the ball, they went straight down and scored. And I said this the other day, I say, if they start getting touchdowns, we're going to have to go into a thing and put Taylor in a position where he has not had success. Trying to come back. And I think after they went up 7-6, and then we get the touchdown, we go up in the half, we up. But I still think we all knew if they come out in the second half and score a touchdown, the game plan is going out the window. And it's catch-up mode now. And when they came out in the second, when they missed the field goal going into halftime, you come out in the second half, and they go down and score, and you see Pat is now cooking. I think just like all the fans were saying, oh, Lord, I think the coaches on the sideline said the same damn thing. And I think the players that were in Burgundy and Gold were saying the same damn thing because they knew our train already passed. Our opportunities that they just handed us, we didn't take full advantage of them, and they're gone.
In the first quarter, Kendall Fuller drops that pick. Deami Brown could have hauled in a great touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's a hard catch. But you know what? Make the hard catch. That's how you win games.
Yeah.
That's how you beat opponents that are going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We have this expectation that the guys that play in Burgundy and Gold won't make the great plays. That's what makes you great. Make that catch.
Yeah. I watch the game with Dallas last night. CeeDee Lamb, he's a bad man. He catches balls, and with the kid number one.
Yeah, he came in after.
He got hurt, went back in the game. They catch the ball over you, under you, around you, past you. This is what you're looking for. It's like if the ball isn't delivered right at the perfect spot, we don't normally go for it and catch it. Only one guy I see do it. That's Mr. McLaurin. Terry does it. And he has
there was even a deep shot yesterday that would have been a hell of a catch, but he had his hands on it. He would have had to catch it over the corner, but we've seen him do it.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying it's like we sit here and it's like we make excuses for our professional athletes and we judge the others from other teams more harshly. Well, I'm watching the others from other teams, not just the number one. Everybody on the field are making plays. They like I had a little thing got called get your name called. They're trying to get their damn name called. We are not trying to get ours called, it seems like. I watch only a handful of people who consistently give you all-out effort. And I watch the majority give me piss-poor effort. And people could sit up there and say, you get it too hard? Watch the film. Go check it out. And when you, all I got to do is say, just check out the tackling. And I guarantee you, the majority of the people that tried to tackle yesterday will fail tackling 101.
I mean, you got to commit to it. It is incredibly hard. Yesterday was hard to watch by the end of it. Like, my mom was at the game. I felt bad for her. CK had his son at the game. Felt bad for them.
Didn't it start looking like 7-on-7 passing drill in that second half?
I've never in my life, and I texted you this, I've never seen a 4-minute offense. So everybody knows what the 4-minute offense is. It is designed.
They ran a 4-minute offense as if they were running a 2-minute. They threw all passes.
So the 4-minute offense is when you can just finish off a game with your offense on the field. You just grind out the clock. You have a lead. You're in no hurry to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
For 50 years of football, the four-minute offense is running the ball. And then maybe you hit a little play action here and there. But you don't want to throw the ball because you might get incompletions, and that'll stop the clock. The Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, their four-minute offense was just Patrick Mahomes passing. I've never seen anything like it. The drive I'm talking about, they got the ball with 10 minutes and 32 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
At their own four-yard line. Great punt by Tressway.
Mm-hmm.
They proceeded to go 96 yards in 15 plays for a touchdown. They converted eight straight third downs. I've never seen anything like that to finish off a game. Listen, don't get me wrong. I've seen Washington give up plenty of four-minute offense drills where the other team just wins by grinding out the clock.
Running the ball, yeah.
Seen that plenty of times. But never just through the air.
No.
Never. But that's a testament to Mahomes and Reed and everything they do. But
what did
make a play.
What did Andy say last week when we talked to him? He say NFL football is all about matchups. And the matchup that they had the advantage in was Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball to his receivers and his tight ends against this secondary. And in that four-minute offense, they showed you what they were most confident in and what they felt the most confident about going against.
Why wouldn't
they? When they looked at Washington. And what he said, when he was talking the other day, I told you, I said, he going to come in here with a game plan to carve him up. Because a lot of coaches like Bill Belichick does as well. They go out there and they find out what your weakness is and they make you have to correct it. That's what they do. They find out what your strength is and they try to take it away from you. We seem to go on the football field and react to what other people is trying to do to us instead of going into a game plan.
Mahomes went for 397 yesterday.
Yeah, he went for 138 in the first quarter.
They completed 65% of their passes. I'm sorry. They converted 65% of their third down.
Yeah.
Hell, I don't. I'm not a math guy. What's 32 divided by 47? What was his completion percentage?
It was up there. I'll have to do that when I can't do that.
He completed 68% of his passes.
Yeah.
Imagine if he didn't throw the two picks.
Yeah.
The one elementary school interception. He fumbled a snap, throws it off his back foot, just straight up in the air.
Yeah.
Imagine if he just dives on that ball like you're taught to.
But that it shows you how good he is. With those terrible moments he had yesterday, he still completed 68% of his passes.
They didn't look right at all in the first half and only like partially in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next week where Aaron Rodgers looks very right and the Packers offense looks very right?
Well, I'll say this. We can't go one-on-one with Davante Adams. I know that.
No.
And I will say this again. Their pass rushing is better than what we saw yesterday.
Certainly. I mean, yesterday was really, really disheartening and worrisome. Opening up the phone lines, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Was it the game plan or the players executing the game plan that was the biggest problem for the Washington football team in their loss to the Kansas City Chiefs? 2-4 without much hope in sight. Taking your calls next on The Fan. But guys,
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Phone lines are packed. People are pissed. Cody has some very interesting stats that I want to get to. We talk about yesterday's problems, and I think there's a bigger conversation if you're more concerned about the offense or the defense. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're going to talk about the offensive game plan yesterday against the Chiefs. Cody, give us those stats, buddy.
All right, on first down, the Washington football team had 28 first down plays. They passed the ball 21 times on first down. That's 75% of their first down plays they threw the ball.
Mm-hmm. Now, the analytics community, Brendan Dar, Warren Sharp, that crowd, loves that.
Do we have the offense to do that?
We don't. I think
they'd argue it doesn't matter.
Those people love it because there are much better quarterbacks out there with a lot more weapons. And normally when they throw them first, how many times did we complete the pass on the first down? That's what I would want to know. Because what we do, we get first and 10, we throw it incomplete, then we run the ball on second down. You think the other teams don't know that? Then they normally stuff us, so we get 2 yards. Now we're in third and 8, which is third and long, and we give them an advantage over us. And that's why we are horrible. We were good yesterday at third down. We played a horrible team. But for the most part, we're not.
Right, and here on second down, we had 19 second down plays. 10 of them were runs. That's almost over 50% of our second downs. We're running the ball, and like you said, third and 8 every time.
If I'm a defensive coordinator,
and that game was largely close, like that wasn't a game script. We got to throw because we're down 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. See, if I was a D coordinator and I'm playing them based off of those stats, because most teams today, damn near 100% of them have a stats department. I would look at that and say, okay, they're throwing it on first down, right? I'll put pressure on my corner quarterback. I'll play a man-to-man because it's early. You got to make it tight. And then on second down, I know you're running, so I'm gonna play it to where I'm playing for the run. But I'm still going to make my guys also kind of play you a little bit tighter, even if they happen to throw a pass there. But if I play you for the run, I'm going to guess right most times based off of those stats.
There was only one time they passed the ball on second down more than once in a single drive. That drive, they scored a touchdown. they passed the ball 3 times on all 3 of their second downs, and they scored a touchdown, the Ricky Seals-Jones touchdown.
Okay. Yeah, that one there. I tell you, boy, it was some horrible secondary play out there yesterday on both sides of the ball. It was awful.
It was awful. All right, let's get to the phones. People are pissed. Zach and Ken Island's been on hold for a while.
Ken Island, I love Ken.
Zach must have called as soon as we opened the show. Zach, what's up, man? You're on with B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, damn right I did.
my dude, how's the jetty, Zach?
I love the jetty.
and hit or miss on the weekends. But let me tell you, that's kind of like our football team. Man, it is pitiful, man. It is really bad. To your point about that four-minute offense, I've never seen anything like it either. It seems like teams have so much leeway in their play calling in the fourth quarter when trying to run the clock out. And, I mean, yesterday really showed that. And I'm not impressed with Ron Rivera right now. This comes down to so much more than two plays or watching tape. And to just hear that and, like, the excuses every week, it's just very frustrating. And, I mean, if I could touch on the – I mean, it's just – it's so disrespecting as a fan. You know, I really resonated with a lot of the callers on Friday who said the Gibbs 2.0 teams are all they have. I mean, I'm the exact same way. And to just see the porta-potty photo op, the Jackson Mahomes stuff, Dan Snyder in the oversized hoodie in the photo op, like, it's just, all of it was just insulting. I feel so disrespected as a fan, man. That's the off-the-field stuff, and obviously we're not winning on the field either, so it's just really frustrating. Appreciate you taking my call, man.
All right, man. Thank you, Zach. Hold it down in Kent Island for us. Be mentioned, yep. I'll be at Queenstown before you know it.
Yes, indeed. Or we could just go to the jetty.
Yeah, we could just go to the jetty to help the golf.
Yeah, the hotel right next door, you just walk right over, boom, boom. Wouldn't have to worry about a car.
Mickey Steele, forever. Mm-hmm. Game plan or game play? Let's go to Chad. Chad, what's up, buddy? You're on with B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, that game went on and on. It just had an eerie feeling like last year when it kind of took me back to where Ron didn't use his timeouts. It just felt like we were just going through the motions, hoping to keep it close and respectable. I mean, even when up 13-10, I didn't feel any sense of urgency to go win that game. Once again, you had 3rd and 2, and I think they called a screen to Humphreys. He got pushed back for that loss of 4. I would have went for the 4th and 6. You can't trust Hopkins. Plus, field goals aren't going to beat the Chiefs anyway. And like B-Man said earlier, that was some of the worst display of tackling I've ever seen. Will Jackson goes up there and just throws his shoulder into something. Like, at least try and push him out of bounds if he can't tackle him. I've just completely lost faith in Rivera. I hate to say that. We're early in year two, but just the message to the team, like B-Man said, if you keep telling them nothing's wrong, they're not going to think anything's wrong. So nothing's going to change unless you put a foot up their butt, you know what I mean? So I won't even get into the Sean Taylor things. I echo the sentiment of the previous caller. It was just disrespectful all day. I don't know, man. I've lost faith in Rivera. I don't even know where we go from here. Thanks for taking my call, guys. You really get me through the week after a tough loss. Thanks.
Appreciate you. Thank you. I'll say this. A number of people came up to me yesterday and said that about the radio show. It was cool to hear so much positivity and love for the program. I wish to God we had something better to talk about.
Yeah, but I think the whole thing about it is this. When it's going good, we're going to talk about it. When it's going bad, we're not going to sit up here and try to BS them.
Totally.
Like I think a lot of people feel that they get BS in the press conference on a weekly basis, Sunday and Monday. Okay, and I think that's what we all grown ups around here, and why are we sugarcoating stuff? I'm not sugarcoating.
I'm out of the sugarcoating.
And
business.
I think ultimately fans respect those who tell them the truth. You know, they think it, and they hear it, then they go, "Oh, okay, cool." But it's not the job to come up here and try to make everything like roses and lavender and all that. No, your job is to tell the truth about what you think, tell you how you can get people out of stuff, what they can do to do better. And if they don't do it, that's on them. But I know the fans around here have been watching stuff a long time to where you can't keep pulling the wool over their head. You say it, they go, yeah, okay, we heard that one before.
You wonder why there's no effing fans?
Right there.
Because this is what you give them.
Yeah.
And then you roll out Sean Taylor Day on 3 days' notice. You give them 3 months' notice, that place would have been packed. My boy Ewald.
Rim to rim. Room from wall to wall. All over
sea
the place.
To shining sea. Ewald, if you're listening, I want you to call in. I saw your tweets last night, and they made me like legit emotional. There are so many people that era of Washington football with Sean Taylor meant so much that if they were able to all get back together, they would have. Mm-hmm. And they just weren't given that opportunity.
Yeah.
And then the on-field play, completely lackluster at best. Mm. Let's go to Dennis in Stafford. Dennis, what's up, man? You're on with B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing good, man.
Good. So I was there.
No, we're fine, dude. I don't know if I'm good.
Right.
I'm fine.
Right,
I'm
good. So I was there. I bought a ticket because I was like, yo, it's Sean Taylor. You know, I wanted to be a part of that moment. And that was just a letdown. It was really a letdown. It was it felt like what we all thought it was, thrown together at the last minute. That's what it felt like. Like, as somebody that actually went out and paid the hundreds of dollars for two tickets. But besides that, what made it worse was the poor tackling performance that we saw. Like, it's constant every week. It's like no fight in this team. It's like, why in the world is it 3rd and 5, 3rd and 8? Even the late 3rd and 25, it felt like they might convert that. They didn't, thank God. But at the end of the day, we still thought it was possible because this team fails to fight. It's like they don't have it in them, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. That's all I got to say. I'll let all you guys have
it. Dennis. Thank you, buddy. I mean, he's not wrong. Not wrong about a single thing, honestly. It very much felt slapped together at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
The best I can tell, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong on this, there's no discernible inside the stadium. You don't see anything that shows that the jerseys retired.
Inside the stadium?
Like, no. So I was just up in Buffalo,
unless it's written on the little thing that in the Ring of Fame.
So that's why I wanted to bring this up. I was just in Buffalo. Washington played the Bills. And the Bills have, rather than a Ring of Fame, in one of the end zones, they have like the Buffalo Honor Guard, whatever you want to call it, right? And they have all these numbers of all these different players. And then a handful of the numbers are, so it's just numbers on the wall, and then a handful of the numbers are circled and have different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing there with Mitch Tischler. I'm like, what is the significance of? So it was Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas are the numbers that are like circled, and maybe 78, probably Bruce Smith. And I'm like, what the hell is the difference? And then finally, a Bills security guard, he's like, oh, those are the retired numbers. And the others are the numbers we honor.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can tell, like, all right, nobody's going to wear 12 or 34 or 78. Let the world know. What's the point of this? If
mm-hmm.
Right?
I would think. You only had one that was retired prior to this year anyway, and that was
Sammy Ball. Right.
Then you went with Bobby Mitchell, and now you have Sean. And I think it's other people that probably could be or should be, and they'll be coming up. But I hope to God nothing is ever in a week or 3 days again. I say a week because they were saying their plan was to announce it Monday. Still, I said, my exact words to the person I was talking to was, still not long enough.
I mean,
let's be real.
Right.
I mean, and you're talking to me because you want my opinion. And my opinion is never going to my opinion may not always be agreeable. And I just said, no, I don't think that's enough time.
We also got to talk about this punk Jackson Mahomes. I don't know that he knew what he was doing. We'll get to it.
Yeah, because it's more about the team than it is about Jackson Mahomes.
Fair. We got plenty more to discuss. We're just getting warmed up. Phone lines are packed. We're going to keep them going all day. I'm pissed. You're pissed. We're all pissed. This is B. Mitchell Finley.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How old is Jerry World now? Could be close to 15 years old.
It's old as hell.
Yeah. It's about, I don't know if it's 15.
But it's over 10. So,
yes, it's right around 10.
The Ravens damn stadium. The Ravens stadium is one season, I guess, younger than FedEx.
Yep.
Now, I know that was built with state money and FedEx was built with private money. I know all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But the Ravens stadium is great.
Yep. But I mean, like I told you before, I can't blame all that on the people here now.
Right.
Because it was thrown up just to be a one-finger salute to a lot of people.
Sure.
And I don't think that when it was built that way, it was the best thing ever. They just wanted to have the biggest stadium out there. They put 92,000 in.
Right.
They won a couple times. They say they had it. But still, you could have done some upkeep and some improvements since you've taken over it. And that's been since 99, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So. Let's go to Mark and Burke. Mark, what's up, buddy? You're on with B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well, man.
Good, good. Hey, man, like, you asked what we're most mad about. It's like just one big ball of disgust. But here's what I think happened last week that really pisses me off. I think Snyder probably had a board meeting at some point, called everybody in, and said, hey, guys, the fans are pissed. We're at the center of another scandal. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to retire Sean Taylor's jersey. And I think a lot of people in that room knew that was a stupid idea, but no one says anything. And I don't know, Brian, you're a player. Can you function in that kind of an environment that's just toxic from the top down? I'll listen to your answer. That was my observation.
Hi, man.
Thanks,
well,
buddy.
As a player, you got to focus on playing football. You can't worry about too much other stuff. But I do think when you constantly hear it and people keep asking you questions about it, it affects your mindset just a little bit. But at the end of the day, you're a football player, and that's what you have to do. But I think when you start hearing so many things over and over again, you start wondering, just like everybody else, like, what the hell am I in? Am I dreaming? Am I going to wake up soon? Or whatever. But that's how it goes. And I agree with him. I think there were people that probably felt it wasn't a good idea, but they didn't say nothing. They just went along with it. Because as I stated before, the timing of this, no matter how positive you were thinking or not, it never, ever is going to be taken to like, oh, that was a plan all the while. People are going to automatically assume the other way, that this was done to try to shield other stuff.
The fact that you have driven this organization to such a low that the assumption is a nefarious act rather than a celebration, mm-hmm. You've already broken it. Like, it's already broken. What do you got going on over here?
Trying to see
your collar bothering you? You're hot under the collar?
My stay is in here. Oh, I've been that. I know that.
It's just, Lanville, what'd you say there about the retirement ceremony?
The retirement ceremony, it was clearly planned on about 2 days' notice. You know, they had the picture taken in front of the porta potties. They had the number on the side of the field where they told the Chiefs' friends and relatives to stand on. Like, legitimately, if I didn't know any better, I would say they were trying to disrespect Sean Taylor. Because this is exactly the type of thing you would do if you were trying to do that. They said, oh, yeah, we're going to rename something in his honor, but we'll make the family stand in front of the porta potties. We'll let the quarterback who's about to destroy our team, his brother is going to dance on the guy's number. They do a ceremony at halftime, and it's like 2 minutes long. They clearly didn't plan this. And if they did plan it, it's actually even worse. Because you sit down, and your idea is that, hey, let's have the man's family stand in front of the toilets. The disgusting toilets that all the drunk morons that go to those games are using constantly. Let's have the idiot little brother of the quarterback dance on the guy's number because we just have to put it at the 21-yard line on the opposing team's side of the field for some reason. If they actually thought this through and said this is the way to go with it, it's way worse than if they just winged it and it turned out to be a disaster. You're either incompetent or you're clearly trying to distract from something. You pick which one. But the whole, we planned this ahead of time. You're just being dishonest. Stop.
Totally.
Strong. And accurate. Somebody finds anything that Lanville's incorrect about, let me know. Because I think you can put that in the New York Times rather than just. I haven't even brought this up yet. Has anybody read Peter King yet today?
No.
We're going to talk about that too. Peter King, who is probably the most widely respected pro football journalist in the country. Peter King has quite a theory about the emails that have emerged over the last week and who might be behind those emails leaking.
Hmm.
And it's not the first time I've heard it. I don't know that I've said it on the radio, but makes a lot of sense. We'll get to there's just what mess would you like to discuss? Should we talk about the game where the offense scored 13 against a team that's given up 32? Should we talk about the defense that gave up 500 yards despite having 5 first-round picks?
They were in that game, though.
Should we talk about... It was one or two plays, B.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the retirement ceremony that seemed haphazard? Should we talk about these emails and one theory that's emerging among smart people in the NFL? We can talk about any of it. We'll talk about all of it. We'll take your calls on all of it. It's a effing mess. Something's rotten in Denmark. More of it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.